Praise the Lord. Well, Ethan could be the next Billy Graham with a prayer like that. He really could. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to go to the book of Joshua. And then in just a few moments, we have two that I'm aware of that are going to be baptized in water this morning. Can you say praise the Lord? Excited about our Easter outreach, and we are praying and working and believing for no empty seats next Sunday morning. They're all going to be filled up, and we're also believing that Pastor Lay will be preparing his team to feed my team April the 22nd. I said we're believing. Now we're going to have to put our faith in action by inviting people to come. So we've had some prayer meetings and some strategy meetings, and the best word of advertisement is word of mouth. So invite people, whichever team that you are on. If you are on my team, I'd like to meet with you for a one-minute meeting right after service, right up here, because this is the final stretch, and we shall overcome. Praise the Lord. I got to keep going. Our Pastor Lay is going to jump up here real quick. Go with me to Joshua chapter number 6. I want to read just a little bit out of this, and we won't read it all because of the time constraint this morning. But let's look at a couple of verses in Joshua chapter 6 and verse number 1. It says, "Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. Nobody went out, and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, with the priest blowing the trumpets. And when you hear a sound, a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man straight in.' So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it.' And he ordered the people, 'Advance, march around the city with the armed guards going ahead of the ark of the Lord.' And when Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the people, 'Do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day that I tell you to shout. Then shout.' So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the people returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. And the armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets were sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city and all that is in it are devoted to the Lord.'" Skip down to verse number 20. "When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city." How many has ever read that before? I would have liked to have been there. I'm believing that when we get to heaven, there's this just remote possibility we might get to see some special DVDs or videos replaying some of these things that happened in biblical history. I would have loved to have seen these 50-foot walls come down when the people shouted. I tried to imagine some of the things that they must have felt when they were marching around this city. How in the world, I mean, I can't keep my kids quiet on the way to church. How did they keep quiet all the way around? How did they do that? Somebody had to say something. But Joshua gave them these instructions: when you go around the wall, don't say anything, be quiet. Now, by that fifth or sixth day, I would have been going, man, this is something else. We're just walking around the city. We're not talking. We're not saying anything. And then I imagine, what did the people inside Jericho feel like with these people? Just, can you imagine somebody just walking around your house, not saying anything? I mean, you know, after that first day, you probably called the police in on the scene because this is weird. But imagine just quietness, quietness, quietness all these days. I imagine the people inside were getting a little nervous about what was going on. And then on that seventh day, can you imagine the emotions of the people thinking, we've done this 6 days already and nothing's happened. How many's ever prayed before and nothing's happened? And you kind of wonder, you kind of think, I've already done this. You know, how did he get them motivated? How did he keep them from talking? How did he get them to just follow the instruction completely? And he said, now we're going to circle, 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 circle. And when we get done, when I give you the signal, we'll shout. Can you imagine what that must have sounded like and how the people inside that city must have braced themselves when those walls came down? And the promise and the prophecy of God was fulfilled that God had already mandated. God doesn't ever give up on us. He never fails in his promises. But as they circled that city, they're getting ready for that victory lap. When the instruction came, those walls came down. Let me tell you this morning, sometimes people themselves have walls that need to come down. And even though we may have circled around before and prayed, God may be speaking to our hearts to pray some more, to circle that wall again, to highlight in our Bible the promises of God that we are more than a conqueror, that we are victorious through the blood of Jesus. And even though we've circled around that mountain, we've circled around that city, we prayed about this certain thing before, in the middle of that circle is the presence of God. And we need to just keep reminding ourselves as we stand on the promises of God that God is in the middle of that circle and God will meet our need if we keep circling and we keep believing long enough. The problem is sometimes people circle at once and they're done. I'm into baseball season now. I just got out of football season last fall and we're gearing up. And I've been watching these kids run the bases and watching my son get after it and go after all of that. And when he gets done, he gets in the car and he goes, "Woo, I'm tired." And I thought, you ought to be. I mean, I can't believe the energy of circling those bases just repetitiously, lap after lap after lap after lap. I thought he'd surely give up. But they keep going. They keep going. They keep going. Boy, how many of you like to have that energy of a seven-year-old again? You know, some of you are, you know, you need help from 911 just to get to your car today. Coming up the ramp, I saw some of you this morning just out of breath, you know. But circling, circling, circling. God has an energy level that is beyond our imagination because he wants to empower us with Acts 3:19, which is a spiritual shot in the arm. In fact, the Bible says that times of refreshing will come from the presence of God. Many times we give up on God, but God has not given up on us. God has never failed us. He's never given up on us. He just wants us to continue circling that promise, highlighting that in the Word of God and reminding ourselves that sooner or later, amen, sooner or later. Can you imagine the sight of these people watching these walls come down? Can you imagine the victory? Can you imagine the praise? Can you imagine the volume and the intensity of their voices as these walls came down? Wouldn't it be miraculous today to see people delivered from drugs and alcohol and all of the problems that they're facing emotionally and financially? And instead of continuing to circle over that thing and remain in a cycle of disobedience and bondage, but to get out of that trap and to get into that circle of praise and worship and find freedom in the things of God. The Bible says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. In other words, we don't have to go back over that. I want to share with you very quickly some circles. Circle number one is to dream big. Dream big. Dream big. Oral Roberts was traveling a route through Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he was 18, 19 years of age, and he looked over at a piece of property, and he just said to himself, to the guys he was carpooling with, he said, "Guys, one day I'm going to build a hospital over there, and I'm going to build a college over there." How many has ever seen ORU? It is phenomenal even today in 2012. His dream began up here. It got to here, and then it manifested in the physical, and Oral Roberts University is reality. It was a dream. I believe today that your dream is connected to your prayer life. The obstacle and the hindrance many times we have is we allow the enemy, ourselves or others, to defeat us in the dream that we have. And even parents do this to their children today. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never be anything. You're raised in the wrong home. And teachers tell children, you'll never do this, you'll never do that. You're in the wrong environment. How many know it doesn't have anything to do with the culture, the environment. It has to do something with the dream. Amen. Amen. Joseph was a dreamer. Yes. And he dreamed big. In fact, sometimes when you have a dream, other people will try to steal that dream. They'll try to rob you of fulfilling that dream. The Bible tells me, however, that with God, all things are possible. In Genesis 37, 5, the Bible says, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they threw him a party. No, they didn't. They hated him. In fact, they were jealous of him. When you step out of the boat and you start dreaming, don't expect everybody to get on your bandwagon. Jealousy, hatred, animosity. Tried to kill him. But how do you know that Joseph never gave up on that dream? The more positive reinforcement we give to this younger generation, the better off. And let me tell you, Mom and Dad, you can't give enough of that to them. They need that affirmation. They need that attaboy. We need to do that in the church to those that are new in the things of God, that are new babes in Christ. You can succeed. You will be successful. You will not fail. I'm proud of you. Hello? You're not going to get that in the world. So we've got to have a double dose of that. Joseph was an absolute positive dreamer. He dreamed big. He dreamed big. I want to challenge you this morning as we prepare for Easter outreach to dream big. I want to challenge you even to think unselfishly. And I'm sure our staff and our leaders and our ushers and our greeters and our elders and our deacons and our trustees and our pastoral staff would all agree. We even next week may need to be willing to give up our meal or our seat. Amen? Amen? Yeah, I got about 30% there. And willingly, unselfishly, to just do that for 1 week. Amen? Having to most of us, we'd probably survive if we missed one meal. Oh, Pastor Mark, don't go there. I can't. I can't miss one meal. Amen? How many know some of us could miss three or four? We'd still be all right. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Dream big, not small. Number two, second circle. Pray hard. Psalm 32, verse number 7 says this. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Pray hard. There was this old saying when I was a kid, and some of you have heard it before, pray till you pray through. I don't know that as Americans we even understand that anymore. We pray while the napkin hits the floor in the restaurant. Bless my food, and now I lay me down to sleep. Quick, trivial prayers. But pray hard. Pray hard. What does that mean? I've heard of some of the old-time prayer people getting sores on their knees and wearing out their pant legs because they prayed so hard. Hello? Pray hard. There was a man who was a sage, and over 2,000 years ago, Israel was in a drought. If you've ever been to Israel, you realize that it's desertous, it's dry. Annual rainfall is 3 inches a year. So they have to learn to irrigate and to bring water in. This sage by the name of Honi drew a circle in the sand. Wisdom, very wise, very standoutish. And he knew that the land needed moisture, it needed rain, it needed substance, it needed replenishment. There had been a drought, winter had come, and now into spring. Last summer, I talked to my father-in-law and he said we had 100 days in a row in southeast Oklahoma without any rain. That's a long time. And when it doesn't rain, the ground begins to crack. When it doesn't rain, sometimes you have to take a hose and go around the foundation of your house and you have to water plants. That's when the water bill goes up a little bit. You have to add moisture, do something to make these plants survive. I'm a person that doesn't water my yard. I don't believe in it. I don't want to make grass grow because then you got to cut it. I just believe in whatever it happens, happens. If it rains, it rains. I'm not going to go out there and go change the water, honey. I've done that before. This man, he prayed and he drew a circle in the sand and he said, Lord, we need rain. We need moisture. Nobody else was praying this way. And so he stood in that circle and eventually he got more sincere and he tugged on the heartbeat of God even more. And as Honi began to pray in this circle that he drew in the sand, he got on his knees and he really began to entreat God and to plead God and to intercede. And he said, Lord, I need rain. And before long, the sky began to turn black and all of a sudden there was clouds there and all of a sudden there was a droplet, just a very small sprinkle. And then people were kind of wondering about what was taking place. They were a little bit dazzled and frightened and astounded that actually there was a raindrop. When you haven't had any rain, anything is welcome. And it began to just drop, just moisture on the ground, just a little bit. And Honi was like, Lord, we need more than that. We need more than that. You see, some people, they get in this prayer circle and they get just a little bit. When I was a kid, you'd have to believe this, and I have pictures to prove it. I'll have to dig them out sometime. Anybody remember Pat Boone? Well, I went to church with bell bottoms and white shoes, and my mom and my dad, my mom especially, put dippity-doo on our hair. Dippity-doo, I don't even know if it's around anymore, but it's just like jelly. And she would just cream that on there, and that's why I still have this plaster-like hair. But my two brothers also had stiff hair and white shoes, never moved in the wind or anything. And so we had dippity-doo hair and white shoes and bell-bottoms. That's the way we dressed when we went to church. We all looked alike. And got to get it back now. And I remember her putting that dippity-doo on her hair and just plastering it like cement. And, how many know some kids, they actually do need to comb their hair once in a while. But we were neat. We were proper. And we would come in. And I kind of got resentful after a while. I was kind of like, this is crazy. Why do we have this dippity-doo? But it's another story for another day. I have wavy hair. My brothers have straight hair. I was so jealous. I used to go to bed at night and I'd put a stocking cap on my hair. I actually paid the barber money to put hair straightener in my hair that burned my scalp and made it straight, but he forgot to tell me it comes back twice as curly when you do that. Finally, I gave up and just realized my true identity, and all the ladies in the church used to say, boy, I just love to have your curly hair, and I was like, take it. I don't like it, you know. Dippity-doo. Honi began to pray, and it rained. And then all of a sudden, it rained more, and it rained more, and it rained more, and it rained more. And all of a sudden now the people were upset. Isn't this just like the nature of humans? It was raining so much that it began to flood. It was raining so much that the streets, and they began to worry about their houses. They began to worry about where they lived at. They began to worry about all this water gushing down the streets. And they said, Honi, stop praying. It's raining too much. And so he got back down on his knees and he said, Lord, I thank you for the rain. I bless you for the rain. I'm so encouraged by the rain, but could we stop it now? And the rain stopped. Honi, as a wise sage, just an obscure man who had prayed and prophesied, was marked down in history as a man who sought and entreated God until it rained. We need some prayer warriors today.
Amen. Huh.
There's enough talk in the land. There's enough debate today. There's enough opinions out there about where our money's going and where the weather's going and where the economy's going and the direction socially of our nation. We need some prayer people. We need some people that will draw circles around their family. We need some people that will draw circles around their children. We need some people that will draw circles around Cornerstone Church and say, Lord, until this happens, I'm going to pray until it happens, until I see it, until a miracle occurs. I'm not going to let go. I'm going to continue to pray until the Lord meets this need. Honey prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. Until the cisterns were full, until the ditches were full. It wasn't just a drizzle. It wasn't just a raindrop. In fact, the raindrops were recorded as big as eggshells. They were that big. Miracle beyond imagination. I have a friend, a pastor friend. You may know him. His name is Bill Wilson, and he's a pastor in New York, Metro Brooklyn Church. He's been there, seen staff members go there and be killed. He himself has been shot and stabbed in the neck. Bill Wilson has a children's ministry and now an adult ministry, Metro Church in Brooklyn, New York. One day, he called all his staff together and he asked all of them, he said, get all of our bus drivers together and get the buses gassed up, we're going out. And all the bus drivers got together and they talked to each other by radio and they circled the neighborhood and area where drug dealers were at, called the police in, and the police came in, arrested all those drug dealers because the church rose to the occasion. You say, Pastor Mark, that is a far-fetched story, and this is not Brooklyn, New York. No, it isn't. But you know what it is? It is Grove, Oklahoma, and miracles can still occur here, too. How many like to see the rest of your family saved? How many like to see your friends, your neighbors, the people you work with, especially your grumpy old boss? How would you like to see him saved? Amen? Hallelujah. You say, Pastor Mark, he's already saved. Well, he may need to get saved again. Amen? He may need a double dose. He may need some dippity-doo. I believe in Acts 3:19. Times of refreshing will come from the presence of God. Lord, cause that to happen. Number three, Psalm 84, verse number 11. We're going to close. Psalm 84, 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord bestows favor and honor. Listen to this in Psalm 84, 11. And no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. God is not sitting up there with a hammer ready to pound you. God is up there willing to forgive you. God is not there to criticize you and to judge you. God is there not to gossip about you, but to love you as you are. He did not come and send his son to condemn the world. He came to save the world, so that the world might be saved. Hallelujah. We have to keep circling. We have to keep going around. We may go around the mountain. We may go around the city. We may have to just get up in the morning and walk through our community and walk through our neighborhood and circle around it and say, Lord, until this happens, I'm not giving up. Amen. I'm praying until I see the need met. On your outline, take a pen or a pencil or a crayon. If you didn't bring one, borrow one. Number four, we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. We're going to believe the promises of God. Amen. We're going to believe that they're going to be fulfilled. Because if we pray the promises of God, they will be fulfilled. You see, the promise is there. All we have to do is pray it. Amen? For years and years and years and years and years and years and then some more years, we prayed for some of my relatives on my wife's side who professed atheist. And quite personally, I had probably stopped and given up. But today, all of them are saved. Amen. One's a youth pastor. Another one has gone into youth ministry, now a school teacher. They've all gone to a relationship with Christ, come out of atheism. See, nothing is impossible with God.
Amen.
Nothing. Amen. What are we going to do on that last circle? I know you know this. If you don't know this, ask your husband and your wife, where do you live? And write down your address. That was kind of a joke because people sometimes want to know, like, my wife's phone number, my phone number. I never call myself, so I can't remember my own phone number, but my address. Write it down. Let's write it down in that fourth circle. And if you need to take the back of the piece of paper and make a bigger circle, and write it down, that's fine. But I want us to go home this week, one day this week, and look out over our neighborhood. And you say, well, I live out in the country. I live on the farm. I live way out somewhere out, and I don't have any neighbors. There's still somebody somewhere in a circumference radius around where you are. I'm going to do that with my neighborhood. And I'm drawing a circle around the people that live beside me, and I'm going to pray for them until they come to Christ.
Amen.
It's time that we do something radical for God. Yeah. Amen? It's time that we draw a circle. So inside that circle, write your address. And then I want you to keep that in your Bible or in your car or on your mirror as a reminder. I'm going to pray for the people around me. What is our fishing pond? Our fishing pond is go where the fish are. Who are they? Your friends, your neighbors, the people you work with, family members, neighbors. Those are the fishing ponds. Well, Jesus said to go into all the world. How many are called to go to Africa? I'm not. Every time a missionary came in and said, who wants to go to Africa? I ran out the door. I didn't want to go to Africa. But I do want to see people around me come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I do not want to stand there on that day and hear the words, who are you? I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want him to look on the left and on the right and see people's lives that I have touched. Amen?
Amen.
You say, Pastor, what about my job? What about my bank account? What about my boat? What about my house? What about... God doesn't care about any of those things. He cares about us touching the harvest. Now we're going to pray over it. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we pray right now in Jesus' name for our Easter outreach 2012. Some are here from out of town, and that's okay. We pray for the outer region as far away as Tulsa, Oklahoma. We pray for Miami. We pray for Joplin, Missouri. We pray for all the communities in Arkansas and Kansas. And we pray especially for Grove, Oklahoma, for Afton and Bernice, for Miami. Lord, we pray for these communities, the people that live just a few steps away from this church building. Lord, the people that we ministered to yesterday at Garden Walk Apartments, every door that we knocked on, these represent lives and souls that need to be changed. These represent people that are hurting and bleeding and wounded. And Lord, today as we close in prayer, we thank you for the harvest that is coming. We thank you for the people that we work with. We thank you for the people that we live by. We thank you for family members and neighbors that are going to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Will we feed them? Yes. Will we give them a fuel voucher? Yes. Will we love on them? Yes. But the most important thing that we do over the next three Sundays is radiate the love of Jesus Christ. Because that is what will win them. It's not all the things that we're going to say, but it's what's in our eyes. Because our eyes will speak volumes. Do we love them? Do we care about them? Are we concerned about them? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm just going to ask our service pastors to come. And Mary Jo is coming to lead us in a closing song. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask our service pastors to come. And Mary Jo is going to sing this song. And as she's singing this song, you can lift your hand, you can pray, you can worship. But basically what I'd like us to do is, just for these moments as she's singing, think about some of the people that we can touch. Who are they? The banker, person at the grocery store, person who lives next door to us, our grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins. They represent a life. As she is ministering in song and our service pastors are coming and preparing for prayer, let's think about the lost for a moment. We don't do that enough. Amen. Hallelujah.
Pastor Mark, I just wanted to say something before I start to sing. I'm going to sing He'll Do It Again. And there's probably a lot of you here that don't know my story. But this stool right here used to be my constant companion up here. Because of a disease that has tried to attach itself to my body, I wasn't able to stand and sing at the same time. And God healed me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God healed me. And I know there are many people that are here today that have a story to tell. But I also know there are many people here today that are going through a story right now. But we are here today to tell you that what he's done for us, he will do for you. And I want you to grab a hold of that today.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.